Luke chapter 19. Let's begin to read in verse 11. Now, this is right after Jesus met with Zacchaeus. And after Zacchaeus comes down out of the sycamore tree, and the Lord said this day in verse 9, is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also was the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that a wonderful thought. Amen. Jesus come to seek and to save the lost today. And I'm glad he done that in my soul. He sought me out and found me and then saved me. Amen. But verse 11, we'll pick up there. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And let me say this, Israel was always concerned about the restoration of the kingdom. If you go back to Acts chapter 1, as Jesus was leaving this earth, left them here, they asked him as he was fixing to get on the elevator and go to heaven. They said, Lord, well, now at this time, restore the kingdom unto Israel. And that's what they were looking for. And they still ain't got the kingdom, but they will one day. Verse 12. And he said, therefore, now because they were looking for a kingdom to appear, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, what was that? You've been faithful in a very little. Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou hast taken up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And that's interest. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he had 10 pounds. And the people that were standing there listening, they thought that that was unfair. They took from the one that just had 1 pound and done nothing with it, but gave to the one that had 10 pounds. Does he not already have enough? Verse 26, you know about a hard saying here in verse 26. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And you be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the choir singing, for the special singing. Glad the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I'm glad no matter what happens, we're yours and you're ours, and I thank you for that. And the seal, we have this seal that you know those that are yours. And Lord, it's come time now for preaching. We certainly need some help, need you to guard our mind and our thoughts and help us to say all that needs to be said, but no more, no less. Lord, that I could preach to these folk right here in front of me like this is going to be the last time that we're going to be here. And Lord, that we're just dying men preaching to dying people. And Lord, I ask this morning you'd help with this. Lord, that we'd not only leave out of here different than what we come in, but better. If there's one lost, save them. Somebody has a need, meet that need. We ask you now to touch and anoint us afresh, and that from heaven. Save that sinner to his tail. For all this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to go back and look at verse 25 and verse 26 before we get started. Where it says, and they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. Have you ever noticed that those that will be faithful into the work of God, God will just keep on using them? Have you ever noticed that? That God will just keep on using them and doing whatever that He can to use them. And that's the way it is in church a lot of times. When folk decide that they want to do something, that they'll work, the preacher will wear them out. Amen. Because they'll work. But notice right here that those that would not do anything, it says, "For I say unto you that unto every one one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him." And that seems very unfair, but notice that we're in the context of he didn't do anything with what he had. And I'm afraid that's a lot of people today in their Christianity, they're not doing anything with what they have. And we'll look at that as we go on. But come back and look with me at the first part of the chapter. And notice as he's going to receive a kingdom. Are we all right this morning? Amen. All right, okay. Notice as we go back and we look at the beginning of the chapter, as they were looking for the kingdom of God to appear, he begins to talk about a nobleman and that going to receive a kingdom. And what he done is he got ready to leave and he's going to go, and notice what the Bible said, he's going to into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. And then notice what your Bible says in verse 12, and to return. That means he's coming back. And notice what he said in verse 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and here's what he said unto them, "Occupy till I come." And that's what I want to preach on for just a little while. As the Lord has gone and he's left us here to be the body of Christ, to be the church, I believe we need to occupy till he comes. You know that word occupation, to occupy something means to take possession of or to possess. It's just like when our nation goes in to occupy another place. Listen, they set up a government. They set up a flagpole and run our banner up on that pole. And it becomes ours to take care of and to rule over. And so right here, he told his 10 servants, he gave them some responsibility, and then he said, "Occupy, you do what you're supposed to do till I come back." And I want to look at that this morning. I want you to understand something, or you can look at it like this. Here's what I want to preach on. Just keep on keeping on. I mean, we're in a day and a time when people are giving up what they know to be right, what they know to be the truth. And listen, we're having to fight now. Who would ever thought we'd have to fight the transgender mess? The homosexual mess, the sodomy mess. I mean, it's bad enough to have to fight adultery and fornication and drinking and drugs and all that mess and take a stand on that. But now they look at us like we're crazy and that we're foreign. When friend, really all it is just good morality, let alone spiritual matters. Amen. But our morality in this nation is gone. Amen. As one feller said, it's gone to the dogs. Amen. But listen, I just want to dig in and keep on keeping on. He told them as he got ready to leave, he told them this. He delivered to them 10 pounds. He gave them something to work with. He didn't leave them without giving them something. And he said, "Occupy till I come." And I want to preach on that, on keeping on, keeping on. First of all, number one, if we're going to occupy or we're going to keep on, then we're just going to have to be faithful. Notice over in the scripture what he said in verse 17. He said, "Thou hast been faithful in a very little." He didn't say it was a great big thing. He said it was a little thing. Listen, we think that it's hard sometimes to be faithful in serving Jesus. We've got so much to do in this world that we can't take time just to be faithful to Him. That's crazy. Listen, you've got what you've got. He saved you because of His grace and His mercy, and we owe Him everything that we've got. There ain't a thing you've done. There's not a thing that I've done that I can thumb my lapels and say, "I've created this and made this happen." We all owe it to Jesus Christ. I want you to get a hold of that this morning. He delivered to them 10 pounds, 1 pound each, I guess you could say. And they were taking that. Hey, what you've got to work with, he's gave it to you. What are you doing with it? He's gave it to you. What are you doing with it this morning? Listen, you need to be faithful in what God has gave you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know who a steward is? A steward is someone who has been put in charge of something that is not their own and belongs to somebody else. That's a steward. And listen, he has made us stewards of that in the body of Christ and of that of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the one thing I think we're to be faithful in, and that's telling the gospel. I mean, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We're to be trying to win people to Jesus Christ. He said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're running out of time, church. If you're going to do something, we're going to have to do it now. You say, well, preachers have said that all these years. Yeah, and it's closer now than it was when I was a boy. It's closer now when you was a child. He's coming again. Amen. He's coming. Listen, he's going to receive the kingdom. And then he's going to want to know what we've done with what we've had. I just want to dig in and keep on keeping on. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful coming to church. Every time the doors are open, I want to be found. Even if I wasn't pastoring, I'd want to be found in church. I love to pastor. I love pastoring this church. I love what I do. I love y'all. I just love what I do, friend. I want to pull my hair out sometimes. It gets tiresome sometimes. It gets confusing sometimes. I don't know. It gets burdensome sometimes. But I love it. I wouldn't know what else to do. I mean, I'll just be honest, and I know I've told you all this in the past, but I'll say it again, this is a good church to pastor, and sometimes I still want to pull my hair out. But man, I tell you, I love what I do. Sometimes it gets a little fearful in doing what we do, don't it, for the Lord Jesus. What do you mean? Go talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus, especially when you don't know how they're going to respond to you. I done that just the other day, just this past Thursday. I had the opportunity to talk to a gentleman. And I'm telling you, the Lord impressed on my heart. As I walked up to him, the Lord was impressing on my heart. And I'd talked to him in the past a little here and a little there. But I was bound and determined to nail his feet to the floor about some things. And I asked him what he believed. You know, we come to the conclusion. I finally asked him, I said, you know, as we're standing there talking, I said, well, what do you believe? And he says, I believe in the golden rule. I said, that's a good thing to believe. I believe in the golden rule. I mean, that's a good thing, you know, do unto others before they can do it. I mean, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I said, that's a good thing. I like to live by the golden rule. But I said, look, I'm talking about getting into heaven. I'm not talking about how we're living down here. I'm talking about how do you know what's going to happen when you die. You know. And I tried in my best feeble way to share with him the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I don't know if he heard it or not, but I hope he did. Listen, we need to be faithful. And I need to be faithful and act to serve. Right now I'm just talking about keeping on, keeping on. Listen, I need to preach. I need to pastor this church. I need to do what God's called me to do, and you do too. Listen, if you're a Sunday school teacher, be faithful to teach, be faithful to study, be faithful to pray, and just keep, you say, I don't know if they're getting it. I'm guarantee you some of them men and women, when I was growing up, they didn't know if I was getting it or not. Amen. But look what the Lord's done. You don't know what God's going to do 20 years. Listen, I still remember some of that Bible that them ladies taught me in Sunday school when I was 8, 10, and 12 years old. I still remember that stuff. Amen? It's amazing what you can do. What God can make stick in your heart. I'm just saying, keep on keeping on. He's delivered us something to use and to use for His glory. I think we need to be faithful in our giving, in our time. It's not your time. It's His time. A lot of times we say, it's my time. Listen, I understand you got to work. I understand you need family time, devotion time. I understand all that. He understands that. But it's his time. It's his time. I mean, listen, he's gave us stuff to use for him in the worship and out in, you know something, we look at the body of Christ and the church is called the body of Christ all through Paul's writings. And when we talk about the body, we generally talk about what we see. Because the Apostle Paul does, you know, he talks about the nose and the ear and the foot and the hand and all those things. But you know, there's so much more inside the body that makes it go that you do not see than that you do see. Think about it for just a minute. Think about what's inside the body that makes it go. Think about what's not seen in the body. I mean, you got the heart and the liver and the lungs and the kidneys and all those things and the blood vessels and everything that's running through there. You know, what I'm saying is you don't always have to be seen. Some people won't do nothing in church unless they're seen for it. I don't want to be mean this morning, but if you can't serve God without being seen, there's something wrong with your heart. If you've got to be patted on the back every time you do something and patted because you've done it, there's something wrong with you. Well, I don't know how we got there, but that's good. Amen. I mean, you ever run into them people? They wear their feelings on their sleeve and if you sneeze toward them, they're already mad at you. I don't want you sneezing at me. I mean, that's why I keep this up here, you know. I mean, hey. But I mean, there's just some people that way. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. But I don't know how we got all here. But there's something wrong if you can't serve God without being seen. I mean, I think we're to be able to serve him no matter what, because he's the one that sees us. What was it that he told us over in the book of Matthew? What was it in Matthew chapter 6 as they on the Sermon on the Mount? Let's see here what he said. Matthew chapter 6. What did he say? He said, but when thou doest thy alms. Well, let me back up. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. What's alms? That's given to the poor. He said, therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So he said, when you give, he said, do it in secret. He said, when thou prayest, be not as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues, in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He sees it all. He said, look, you're not doing it to be seen of men. You're doing it because of God. Let him see in secret, and he'll take care of the rest of it. But in our faithfulness, we ought to be willing to give. Give our time, give our talent, give our tithes. Hello? Keep being faithful in giving. Hey, I'm just going to make you say, well, God don't need my money. He don't need your money. But one, he's commanded you to give. And two, we need to keep the light bill on. Amen. Or keep the lights on. Amen. TVA gets a little stingy about that. Amen. They will cut it off. You know, one fella I know, he said, I remember when the church used to vote to pay the light bill. He said, you know, if you don't vote to pay that, if you vote no to pay the light bill, TVA will cut your lights off. But it's more important than that. Listen, the money that we do around here goes to the gospel ministry. It goes to mission work. It goes to the work in the church. I'm telling you, you ought to be faithful to give.
Paul said, as every man hath received the gift, or Peter did, as every man received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I preached on that not too long ago. He said, as you receive the gift, if you got something to give, give. Work in it. You know, he said, you've been faithful in a very little. We look at it sometimes as very big, but you know, the Lord says, it's just very, that's a little thing for you to be faithful in. That's a little thing for you to do. You know, he said he took, when I read this the other day and was studying over it, it said that he took, he gave to them, he said, and he was going to go and return, and it said, let me see if I can find it right here. It said to not know how much every man gained by trading. And I thought, I'm in trouble because I always buy high and sell low. Y'all catch on to that. But you know what? In what God's gave us to work with. And by the way, church, let me say this. He's made every one of us the way he wants to make us. But sometimes you've got to fix you. Sometimes you're the one with the problem. And you got to fix it. You got to change it. You say, well, I don't want to change. Well, you need to, probably. I was thinking about this morning, and I was trying to come up with an example of that, and I thought of this. I for lack of better words, and don't judge me on this, please, and don't feel bad toward me or feel hateful toward me, but I'll be honest with you, I do like to listen to Tammy Wynette and George Jones sing. I growed up with that mess. I growed up with it. I mean, I like that stuff. But you know what I have to do? I know it's not good for me to listen to. So you know what I had to do? I had to change my mind on some things. I had to change me. You don't need to listen to that mess. Right? Huh? That's like letting your kids go listen to somebody standing on stage talking about having a different woman every night and drinking whiskey and taking cocaine. Hello? You know, I watched somebody post that that's supposed to be saved. I watched somebody post that. And I don't even have social media. Somehow it come across my eyes. And somebody's saved and supposed to be going to church. They're there with their teenage daughter. And let me say this, if you're dumb enough to post it online, then I'm probably going to preach against it. And they're talking about what a great time they had. And I mean, man standing up there talking about drinking whiskey and taking cocaine and a different, what in the world? I'm talking about keeping on, keeping on. Stay away from that mess. Amen. How am I doing now? Amen. A lot of people get led away by the devil because they quit being faithful. The Bible said, no man, Mark 3, I said, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. He's got to take care of the strong man first. He cannot spoil the house until the strong man's been took care of. Until he takes care of you and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Until, you better go back, sis, you better go back. Until he takes care of you, that he cannot get you until he gets you away. And then you know what happened when he gets you away? He'll spoil your house. There's a lot of houses ended up in ruin because folk quit being faithful. Folk quit being faithful. They just give up. They give up, didn't think it was a great big deal. Didn't think that it was going to be that big of a deal. I told you a story about a gentleman last week, and me and Paul and Mitchell, we were friends with this man, what, 25 years ago? Is that about right? About 25 years ago? And he got out of the will of the Lord. And I told you, 22 years ago, this coming September, he stood right here and preached 22 years ago. He preached our homecoming. First homecoming I had here when I came to pastor. In September, he preached it. And you know what? Somewhere in that time period, he got away from God. He quit being faithful. I don't know what all happened. I don't know his life story, what brought him up to here. I don't know what got him there. But I can tell you right now, he's sitting over in the county jail. And they fix and try him on murder. Now you tell me that the strong man didn't have his house bound up. I'm just telling you, you quit being faithful, there's some problems that come along with that. There's some problems with it. We need to stand fast. The Bible said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. We think that it is, but notice he said that it was labor, it's work. I'm going to be honest with you how I feel sometimes. I think, man, this ought to be easy. But you know, sometimes you just got to get in there and work. You just got to labor. My dad, I've heard this for years. He'd say, it's just work. Somebody's got to do it. He'll call it bulwark sometimes. That means you just got to get in there and get a hold of it and just make it happen. It's just laboring. It's just working. We just need to be faithful in the work of the Lord. I'm talking about digging in. I'm talking about occupying until he comes. Keeping on, keeping on. Not only do we need to be faithful, but I'm just going to be honest with you. We need to be raising the banner. We're talking about occupation. We need to be raising the banner of what we believe. I mean, we're living in a time now for the past, it seems like the past 20 to 30 years, that people's leaving the book, man. I mean, they're leaving the book. Let alone leaving Baptist. I mean, I'm a Baptist through and through. I know I've told you all this story, but I think it's funny, so I'm going to tell it again. Amen. I remember I was in a facility when I was subcontracting, and I was in there doing some work, and I was standing around talking to some fellas, and I made this statement. I said, you know, I don't remember how we got there, but I said, you know, if I wasn't Baptist, I'd probably be ashamed. That's what I'd be. And there was an older lady over here to my right. I'm pretty sure I offended her by that statement. She must not have been Baptist. I don't know. But I'll just be honest with you, I ain't changed my mind. If I wasn't Baptist, I'd be ashamed because I know what we believe. Amen. I know what we're supposed to believe. Right? I know what we come out of. And when I say come out of, I know our history. I know how we got started. I know all that, you know. We were long before the Reformation. You can go back and you read all history. I can't stay there. I'll get drugged down. But listen, God's gave us a book. You know, Peter, he told the Lord Jesus this. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else are you going to go? I mean, this book gave us eternal life. This book tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to act. It teaches us how to be faithful. It tells us to be faithful, and then it helps us to be faithful. Man, this book is what... Listen, I'm not talking about being a therapist. I'm not talking about a psychologist or sociology or any of those things. I'm talking about folk just need the book. The preached Word of God, the taught Word of God, the studied Word of God in your home and in your heart. I'm talking about keeping on, keeping on. I want to keep on keeping on. I mean preaching on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was it Brother Cooper that used to pastor here years ago? I believe it was Brother Cooper. And Sister Joanna and Brother John, while they're still alive, they would talk about Brother Cooper. Is that right, Miss Evelyn? Did Brother Cooper pastor here? I thought he did. And they said when he died, that he was in the pulpit and had a heart attack in the pulpit. And one of the last things he asked them was, did anybody come and got saved? Man, leaving that. Boy, I thought, boy, what a great testimony. What a great testimony. Man preached his guts out and then fell over dead on the stage. You know what we need? We need men and women just to be faithful. Man to preach. Preach the gospel. Man, we ain't looking for a new way. I still like the old way. I still like the old way. There's a reason I still love these songs. Out of this one, I did grow up with them, but I do love them. You know why? Because I know they work. I'm not interested in trying something else. Why? I know this works. Well, maybe that other, I don't know about that other stuff, but I know this works. That's like this book right here. I know this works. There might be something else that might work too. I doubt it, but there might be. But I know this works. And that's why I am the way that I am. I'm just interested in getting something that works. Amen. And once I find something that works, Bible said, meddle not to him that's given with change. That's me. Amen. I ain't meddling with it. But I want to preach on the gospel. I want to be a witness of the gospel. The blood. You know what's the old saying when we talk about flying the banner high about the book, the blood and the blessed hope? There's some truth to that statement. It's a cliche that we use sometimes, but there's a lot of truth to that. It is about the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. I mean, what was it Peter said? For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That blessed hope, you know what? He is coming again. What did he say? Occupy till what? Till I come. And it came to pass in verse 15 when he was returned. He is coming. Titus 2 said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm talking about occupying. I'm talking about digging in. I'm talking about keeping on, keeping on. You're just going to have to be prepared to fight. You know, the book of Jude tells us in Jude chapter 1, verse 3, that we have to earnestly contend for the faith. Got to earnestly contend for that. Let me ask you this question. If we were not going to have to fight, why did Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, fight the good fight of faith? Why would he tell us that? In Ephesians chapter 6, why would he give us the whole armor of God to put it on if we weren't going to have to fight? I just want to keep on keeping on fighting. If it's going to take, I know we're declaring the Word of God. I understand that. I get that. But there comes a time we're going to have to defend some things. I'm not backing up by the will of God, by the help of God. I'm not backing up. Paul said this in Acts chapter 20. He said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. We got to fight that. We got to fight that. That happens. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Y'all think I'm crazy sometimes. And I probably should be different. I'm going to tell you, preachers are different. And I finally come to grips with that one day. I'm just different. I think different. I have to think different. I have to. Why? Because I'm not saying you don't understand this or you don't think about this, but I know that if Satan could ever get a toehold in here, he would. And if he could destroy us, he would. If he could destroy me, he would. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, as he comes down to verses 3, after he said, be strong in the grace, we're going to need the grace of the Lord to live this life. You know, what was it Paul said? That the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. It is. It is. That there was one part, there was one part of the song that Brother Lewis sung, The Anchor Holds. It talks about, you know, the Lord really showed up in the dark. It was the dark time. It was the hard time. I mean, it's not always easy. I'm talking about living for God. I'm talking about you're living for God. You're doing what you're supposed to do. But yet a fight ensues on that thing. He said endure hardness. That means you've got to bear up under it. You've got to last. You know, if something endures, it lasts. You've got to get up under it. Bear up under it. No man that warreth. And let me say this. Sometimes it ain't that you can just bear up under it for a little while. Sometimes you just got to bear up under it for a while. And that's what endurance is about. Lasting. Occupying until he comes. That makes me afraid more than anything. Talking about this stuff and talking about being faithful and all that. Man, there's a lot of things I don't want to be, but quitting is one of them. I don't want to be a quitter.
Not when it comes to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So he comes on down, no man that warreth. So it is a war. A battle ensued. Entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know, you get entangled, it's a trap, ain't it? And you can't get out of it. Why? They may please him that chose him to be a soldier. Paul talks about how that he's, when he finished his course, he said, I fought the fight. He said, I fought it, man. He said, I fought it. We were to be faithful just to watch and stand our post. Don't let Satan get a toehold, a foothold. Hey, you know what he said? He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I found something very interesting. I'm going to move on because I'm running out of time. Isaiah 56, he said, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleep, and lying down, loving to slumber. He said a lot of the watchmen are that way. He said they're just blind. They're asleep. They don't see what's going on. They're not paying attention to what's going on. They don't see it. They don't know to sound the alarm. But you know the sad part of it is, Ezekiel 33 said this, but if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet. Do you see the difference? He said, my watchmen in Isaiah, he said, they're blind and they're dumb dogs. He said, they're slumbering and they're sleeping. They don't know what's going on. There's some that way today. They've hit their head in the sand. They don't want to know. I don't want to know what's going on, but I do. It makes me sad to look at what's going on. In one part it does, but another I know he's coming. But he said in Ezekiel 33, but if a watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but the blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So that's even worse. The watchman see it about to take place, but he does nothing about it. You know, I've asked you moms and dads that question before. If I seen your children headed down the wrong road, should I tell you? You say, well, it's your opinion. Am I your pastor or not? Do you trust what I have to say? Do you understand? I mean, would you want me to tell you? Surely you would. I mean, Satan's out to destroy who he can and what he can. We need to be found in our post, being faithful. Being faithful in our service, but just being faithful to be where we're supposed to be. You know, the soldier that's got a post, that means he's supposed to be there. Supposed to be there. If he's a sentry, he's supposed to be watching. He's supposed to be seeing what's going on. He's supposed to be paying attention. I think you need to be found in your job, being faithful and doing what you're supposed to do for Christ. You ought to be faithful to be found here. Amen. Or to be faithful. I mean, that's why he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, we need more exhortation now to encourage people to come to church than we did 10 and 20 and 30 years ago. And we've got a pretty fire crowd this morning, but we ain't knocking the doors down and the walls out. And he's still something that could have come to church this morning. My pastor used to say this, we're pastoring in one of the hardest times that there is. And then he would go on to explain, we're having to compete with so much. And we are having to compete with so much. There's so much going on in people's lives and so much to do, Paul, good times in the world. And I mean, we're just an hour and a half from Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And people just drive up there and have a good time today and come back home. Going to go to the mountains. Need to occupy. We need to be watching for the Master's return because he's coming. And it came to pass that when he was returned, you know, the Bible said in Luke 12, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat. And we'll come forth and serve them. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we watching? We should be. I'm talking about occupying. Now listen here. If we're occupying or if we're not occupying, this is my last point. When he returns, there's going to be a judgment. Because notice what he done with his servants right here. He called them all, and the Bible said commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money. He didn't call people that he didn't give money to. He didn't call people that he didn't give something to do to. You understand what I'm saying? That he might know how much every man had gained by trading. He wanted to know what she had done, what they'd done with what they had. You know, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are manifest in your conscience, Paul said. Romans 14, so then every one of us shall give an account to himself to God. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and you'll find that he talks about building on the foundation over there. You know what he said? He said, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide that he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved by fire. So be saved so as by fire. There's coming a judgment day. I mean, we're going to have to give an account with what did we do with what we had. I mean, I just think about this. Man, and I don't know if you think about this much, but every now and again I think about this. And just right now, man, I know how to read. I mean, not everybody in the world knows how to read. And I've got a book in front of me that I can read. I still remember learning how to read. You know, they say from about the first grade to the third grade, somewhere in there, you're learning to read. And then after about the third or fourth grade, you're reading to learn. Does that make sense to you? They teach you how to read so that you can learn how to do other stuff. We don't think about that too much because it's all commonplace around us now. But not everybody's always knew how to read. And yet he's gave us a completed book that we can. Man, I think he's going to require far more out of these past few generations because we knew. But what have we done with what we've known? Let's bow our heads this morning.